it's not going to heal up. It's not going to heal up during the time that you have to continue to play with it. He's going to have to
play with pain.
He's going to have to play with pain and a certain, he's just going to have to adjust until he finishes the season. Then it can heal properly, but he will keep getting banged and hit. And if I'm a player, if I'm the opposition, I'm trying to see what finger it was. I'm trying to hit that finger, hit that hand.
See, that's the thing now, man. Now you're gonna damage. Now the Hawks gonna force him right. You know what I mean? You can make him uncomfortable knowing that hand is far from 100%. Like I said, it's a story now. Whereas people weren't really talking about it as much, or at least on a national level, about it being a problem.
I can't say that. That national, even the national level, there's the running joke that, okay, how did he do that? It wasn't the water vase.
People were like,
comes up to me going, saying the same thing, like, okay, you believe that story?
The big girls love that. Chicks love the last shot opportunity. Somebody give me a napkin so I can wipe my mouth.
All right, it's another episode of the Cedric Maxwell Podcast. He is Cedric Maxwell. I am Joe Sway Pavone. It's playoff season in Boston, and Max certainly felt that way Saturday, man, with the atmosphere, the Celtics beating the brakes off the Atlanta Hawks, at least for the first half or first three quarters. Hawks managed to get it down to almost single digits, but not quite. It was 13 in the fourth quarter, but then the Celtics took over, man. The Celtics beat the Hawks 112-99. Of course, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about Jalen's hand injury, as he had to leave the game at one point. And we'll also talk about the other games that happened across the NBA. The New York Knicks surprising people. The Sacramento Kings surprising people.
Lit the light, baby.
I know you caught that game. I know you got a lot to say, so we'll get into that. But let's talk Celtics first, man. What do you make of the Celtics team? Like I said, I mean, they weren't the team that we were worried about, right? The one that was going to show up and try to make it look easy. No. They took it as if it was the Eastern Conference Finals, as if it was the NBA Finals. That was their energy from the jump. And it was a lot for the Atlanta Hawks to take. And of course, this was your end result, a double-digit win.
The Celtics played their game. That was a high-caliber game they played for at least three-quarters of the game. And then they did what we were a little afraid of. They let the foot off the gas. They started taking ill-advised shots, turned the basketball over, but they had the game so much in control. The outcome wasn't as much, but the sloppy nature kind of made a real feel good to a question mark. How did they come out? What we saw was a dominant Rob Williams come out, and when he controlled the paint, the Hawks were not good. The Celtics rebounded was fantastic. They out-rebounded the game, and that is good. Another tasty stat. And they had, they just had the lineup. And one thing you saw, you did not see Joe Mazzulla. He wasn't screwing around at all. He had seven to eight guys he was playing. After that, everybody else is going to get in when they fit in. Even Grant Williams, who has been so reliable for this team for at least half the year, didn't even get off the bench.
Yeah, I was going to say, at least half the year. I didn't know where you're going with that, but okay. Yeah,
no, at least half the year. He had the first half of the year. He had a great first half of the year, and then just fell into the coach's funk. They will need before the playoffs end. But the matchups were really good for the Celtics. Said Rob Williams was good. Al Horford was good. They rebounded the basketball. Brogdon, Brown, you could see Tatum. I mean, those guys were exceptional when they played well.
Definitely, Max, man. And they did what they were supposed to do, right, when you're playing the Atlanta Hawks. You stop Trae Young. You make him uncomfortable. The resistance at the rim, he couldn't get the layups going. He started 0-for-5, and it was just an ice-cold day for him, right? Murray had a heck of a game.
Hold on, let me do it. Like, Let me do it like he would do.
I was thinking that when I said Cold Kane.
He was chilly.
Not in a good way.
He was chilly. He was glad. This is one of the times he better be happy.
There was a defense.
You would be happy I'm not playing against him right now, because if I had a guy shooting like that, I would definitely do him like this.
Oh, when he couldn't make a shot?
When he couldn't make Marcus a shot, I'd be all on him. But, you know,
I would do the same thing, Max. I would. I mean, this is the playoffs here, man. You got to show these people that you're not playing around. That's it.
But the Hawks, you know, they need to out-rebound the Celtics. That's how they're going to win. If the Celtics are that scrappy, getting team rebounds, they can get out on the break and they can run anytime they want to. Rob Williams was a huge advantage. And the Celtics fans have to cross their fingers that he stays healthy, because around the rim, layups, block shots.
But what do you think happened, Max? Because if you ask me, it was just the dominance of the Celtics just overwhelmed the Hawks. They were just like, whoa, like, oh, so this is what the playoffs like here. You know what I mean? Like, it's been a while. It's been a while since the Hawks team played a playoff game in Boston, and they got that feel right away, and it was like, whoa, okay, let's try to keep up with these guys. But then they couldn't, and then when it came to the deflation of seeing that lead going up and up, and you're like, man, we can't do anything to stop it, that's when the Celtics started out-rebounding these guys and pretty much just putting the effort that they needed to close this one out, or at least create that 30-point advantage that they had.
Yeah, they had such an advantage by then that I think the final results, again, as I said, were clear once they got the 30-point lead. But it was and I don't know if they necessarily played with the game, because her passes were pretty good, but they stopped making some of the shots that they made early in the game. And that was one of the things that you would look at if you had to nitpick at all. Yeah. In that game, that would be the energy from the crowd was exceptional. The play for at least three quarters of the game was superb.
Yeah,
it was just they had maybe 12 minutes in there where they were just like, we won the game and let's try to do other things. I'll tell you who was really good too. Derek White was exceptional. Yeah.
He was, man, especially in the second half, man. Yeah.
Shooting the basketball. Marcus Smart made some plays, passing that were unreal. It was a good win. It was what they had to do to start out a series like this.
I think this was the best game from Marcus that we've seen in a while. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean that in a good way, Max. You know, I tweeted it out, and I also talked about, you know, during our Celtics post-game show and our Garden Report segments with Bobby Manning on CLNS Media, how we forgot Bobby Manning on CLNS Media.
Bobby the Squealer Manning? Oh, is that what you call that? Okay.
Oh, man, don't call him the Squealer. He was reporting.
Bobby the Rat Manning? Okay, I get it.
He sounds like a villain in a mob movie or something. Yeah. Bobby the Rat. Yeah. Don't be talking to Bobby the Rat now.
Bobby the Rat, man.
But no, man, we forgot about playoff Marcus. We didn't talk about that enough. And we're not the only ones, right? He takes things to another level. And, of course, that transcends on both ends of the floor, man. Double digits in scoring, 7 assists, 7 rebounds. Maybe people wouldn't call it quite flirting with the triple-double, but stuffing the stat sheet and just making those plays, man. The loose ball dives. You know, getting those second chance opportunities and finding guys and putting them in the right scoring situations. It was a heck of a performance, man.
Yeah, it was on everybody's part. Tatum was good. I don't think he was great, but he was good.
Yeah, he was good. Especially in that first quarter, man. He set the tone.
First quarter,
you know,
first
11.
Half. Yeah. First half, they were.
Double digits. Right.
Between him and Brown, they were sensational. Now the next question is going to be, what do you do with the stitches?
Jalen Brown stitches.
How do you go back and restitch something that was stitched up already? Because we've all had stitches, but when you have them in your hand and parts that have to be flexible, you can break those stitches. You can tear those stitches. So you might have to have a cut man available for Brown until the playoffs are over, because the hand will keep getting hit. He's going to have to keep flexing that finger, whatever it is. And hopefully it doesn't get to a problem where he can't play, because they would be a completely different team without him.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a story now, right? I mean, Jaylen Brown's the stitches in his right hand, shooting hand, split open during the first half. Joe Mazzulla telling us after the game that he had his bandage changed. And after that, he looked a lot better, right? So maybe this is a matter of not having the right bandage. Maybe it was too tight. Maybe there is something that – some sort of adjustment that they need to make. But it's certainly something you're going to worry about moving forward if those stitches split open again, and especially during the playoffs. But hopefully these next 2 days do him well in terms of resting and the thing heals up. But, yeah, I mean,
it ain't gonna,
it's certainly it's something we're going to talk about for the next few days.
It's not going to heal up. It's not going to heal up during the time that you have to continue to play with it. He's going to have to
play with pain.
He's going to have to play with pain and a certain – he's just going to have to adjust. Until he finishes the season, then it can heal properly. But he will keep getting banged and hit. And if I'm a player, if I'm the opposition, I'm trying to see what finger it was. I'm trying to hit that finger, hit that hand.
See, that's the thing now, man. Now you're gonna
damage.
Now the Hawks are gonna force him right. You know what I mean? You can make him uncomfortable knowing that hand is far from 100%. Like I said, it's a story now. Whereas people weren't really talking about it as much, or at least on a national level, about it being a problem.
I can't say that. That national, even the national level, there's the running joke that, okay, how did he do that? It wasn't the water vase.
Oh,
how
Every, but people weren't going into it. People were like, oh, the Celtics.
Comes up to me going, saying the same thing, like, okay, you believe that story? You believe this story?
But nobody went to the series being like, oh, something's better, be careful, because Jaylen's not it. Like, he's not. Everybody was like, oh, Jaylen is hands a little banged up, but he's good. You know what I mean? Nobody was like, oh,
they weren't questioning
take advantage of this. Take advantage of this.
They weren't questioning that. They were questioning how it happened.
The story. Yeah,
that's what every national writer came to me and started saying, like, you believe this story? Come on, man.
That's funny, man. So it sounds like they're keeping it at 100. But you're buying the story though, right? Is that the 100? You keep it at 100 with that?
Here's the thing about, I don't even know. All I hear is he was watering the plant, a glass vase broke, and did he reach for it? He reached for the vase?
Yeah.
To go in and slice his finger?
I guess one of the shards from the vase got him, the glass vase. You buying? Okay. I mean,
look, all I say is, you know, call.
I don't know if it would leave that many stitches.
Call your local florist. Call that person. Have them at this particular time. What are your plans for you for the rest of the year? It'll be all right. Little Penelope in your plant box. She'll be okay. She'll get back for the next couple of weeks.
Jaylen finished with the game high 29 points. He also grabbed 12 rebounds along with his 3 assists. So it didn't affect his performance. But again, it's something to keep an eye on when you know he's not 100%. And the Atlanta Hawks know exactly what he's dealing with. So, I mean, yeah, if you're the Hawks, you got to take advantage of that. This is the playoffs. But speaking of the Hawks, man, a lot of the we just didn't have it today was being said after the game. Trae Young, especially. It's interesting what Murray said, right? Because he hasn't been in the playoffs for a while since his days in San Antonio, and he's like, man, people say how well he did and all that. And he's like, but we lost. We need to play better. We all need to play better.
Yeah.
So I like the energy. I like the way he was talking after the game. But I thought it was interesting how Trae was just sort of like, man, I'll just have it next time. Where I'm just like, the way the Celtics are playing defense against Trae, I don't know if that's necessarily going to be the case. What do you think?
They're putting him in. They're trying to put him in awkward positions. They're trying to not let him set his feet. They're always trying to have a hand in his face.
Right.
Good job of that. He's doing the herky jerky whatever it is. And normally what you'll have a guard in front of him. So he's not going to get by a guard. But if you can get a big on him in a pick and roll, you can make that guy dance and you might be able to get something off. But he utilizes a lot of time on the clock with his dancing. So if he goes back, forth, dribble one time, by the end, the shot clock's down to 6 or 7. And sometimes you're forced into a real bad situation. But let's just say the Celtics played well, and we'll see what Atlanta adjustments, because it's always the team that loses has to adjust. How will Atlanta adjust? Now, here's the thing I think that Atlanta might do. They might try to take a page out of Salt Lake City's book, where every time Tatum touched the basketball, come with the double team. Don't allow him to get the rhythm trying to beat his man one-on-one. Yesterday, Jason Tatum was a lot more decisive about getting towards the rim, getting there fast instead of dancing on the outside trying to beat his man. So if there's one adjustment that the Hawks probably will make, it probably will be that.
Well, I'm interested to see what kind of adjustments the Golden State Warriors are going to make, because that loss against the Sacramento Kings, man, and one heck of a game. 126-123, it was the final score. But this was something that people were talking about going in. Obviously, for a team that only won 11 games on the road, it was a talking point that the Sacramento Kings' home court advantage would be a big advantage, especially against a team like the Warriors.
Well,
that was the case in game one.
But they weren't. The advantage was supposed to be Golden State. Golden State right now on the big book. Who's our fan? Who are we doing right now?
FanDuel
right now has the Warriors right now as the favorite. And Klay Thompson played well shooting it. Steph was really good. Andrew Wiggins was a guy who was going to be the question there. And he wasn't bad, but he wasn't great either. He had the opportunity to tie the game up at the end. But a very, very, very good win for that team. Now can they bounce back and get another one? They lit the light. I'm wondering now with that, with Golden State, would they stay in San Francisco or would they go home? Because they bust down. And would they bust back home so they can be at their own beds? And then just follow up and bust back to Sacramento or stay overnight in Sacramento. But Steph was really good. But man, it was a real party for De'Aaron Fox. De'Aaron Fox, he was
30 and you think points, about
Sabonis wasn't good,
right? Sabonis wasn't good. But can we talk about Fox for a little more because 38 points, right? Going off offensively, but you know his assignment was on the defensive side, right? Having to defend Steph Curry, I mean, like, that's impressive, Max, especially for someone like De'Aaron Fox, who doesn't necessarily have playoff experience, and to do that against the reigning finals MVP and in a winning performance, it says a lot about where he's at in his growth.
But it also talks to the state of the mindset of Golden State.
Right.
They haven't been bothered by that. Remember, the Celtics had an advantage coming back home against Golden State, held them down 2-1, could have gone up 3-1 and probably would have won the championship if they had won that game in Boston. This doesn't rattle them. Matter of fact, I think it pisses them off. Yeah. I think that what you're going to see is going to be a key for that Sacramento team to win again at home in the next game. If they're going to win this series, they cannot allow Golden State to go back to Golden State even. They have to be up 2-0 and put pressure on the defending champs. one thing is you're saying they haven't played well on the road, but last night they played well enough to win that game on the road, but it was just too much De'Aaron Fox at the very end.
Yeah, it was still an L, Max. Exactly.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I mean, it's another road.
I get
L on the road, if you will.
There's an L on the road, but there's an L against Golden State that is really different. It's really different when I think about it. But a good win for a young team that was Mike Brown, who was the coach of the year, deserved that. They deserved to get a win. They played hard enough, and that fan base was unreal the way they won that first game. Even your guy was there. Bobby Buck, Bonds was there up in the house. He was at the game.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. He was up. I'm not sure. Because I'd seen him before, at the game, and I thought that was him sitting over there, and I kept staring at him, and then it was finally, and they showed him on TV, and I was like, oh, man, Barry Bonds. Yeah, Barry Bonds. Yeah, the Vladdy Divots was there. Your guy that you loved for a while, White Chocolate, was there.
Jason Williams was there.
Jason Williams.
That's cool, man. I caught up with Jason in Miami last year during the playoffs, so now he's over in Sacramento because, man, that team was fun to watch back in the day.
So it was not a good win for them. It was a great win for them and a win that they needed if they're going to extend this series.
I love what De'Aaron Fox had to say about guarding Steph Curry. I don't know if you've seen this video, Max, but real quick, right? J.R. Smith was on a podcast, and he was talking about the series when the Cleveland Cavaliers upset the Golden State Warriors and how Matthew Dellavedova needed, like, treatment after guarding Steph Curry and how he was, like, his neck was hurting trying to get through screens and his whole body was aching and how he pretty much, J.R. was saying, he'll always have the utmost respect for Dellavedova for doing that because they wouldn't have been able to win without his effect on the defensive end of the floor. Fast forward to De'Aaron Fox last night, and he's like, you see that video of J.R. Smith talking about Dellavedova guarding Steph Curry? That shit is true. Like, yes, facts. Like, I love that from De'Aaron Fox, man. It's kind of a light flex almost, but also, like, hey, this wasn't easy. Like, I worked my ass off out there.
Doris Burke said it best, the analyst for that particular game. She said, it begins once Steph Curry gets rid of the basketball because he's constant motion. He's coming off picks. You think you got him? Okay. You take your guard down for 1 second.
He's throwing walls at you. Walls.
He's running, and then another pick comes back at you. Then he's running this way. He must be exceptional with his stamina, but just as good as once he gets that basketball on a string, man, and gets that separation. He was surreal. I mean, he almost carried them to a victory and had the last shot on his fingertips to tie it. And with him, you almost automatically thought that was down, before he caught that basketball.
It was just a hell of a game. You're right. It could have went either way. That's true. Yeah. I'm just giving the kink to Flowers. You know, first round Flowers. Absolutely. First round game one Flowers, I should say. It's the long series.
Do you give the same thing to the New York Knicks?
Yes, 100%, man. They deserve it, man.
Spike Lee is someplace going crazy. Stephen A. Smith was wearing a kind of creamsicle jacket and tie on the other day, just going off. My New York Knicks.
That's going to carry over to Monday morning too. You know he's going to have all that energy, man. They deserve it.
The Knicks play hard. They played well, and they defend. They can give Cleveland clean. It can go either way. I mean, but I thought defensively it showed a lot about who the Knicks were, being able to slow down Donovan Mitchell, just to kind of contain him and, you know, do what you do. Garland wasn't the player he was before, but the Knicks did an excellent job of controlling those two guards, and not a lot of other teams have been able to do that.
And shout out to Jalen Brunson getting this playoff run, you know, going. You're getting it going on the right foot, man. Look, 27 points, really guiding this team on offense, giving you that defense on the other side. And then when your sixth man of the year candidate didn't have it, right? Emmanuel Quickley didn't have it. It was Josh Hart stepping in. And Hart, man, he's been doing this. Like, he's been about this in terms of coming off the bench, giving you that spark on both ends of the floor. And game one, it was no different, man. 17 points, 10 rebounds. Heck of a performance out of him. I don't think they win without him. And just collectively, a heck of a game for the Knicks to beat the Cavaliers, man.
Yeah, to get a win for the Knicks and that franchise and get them started off in the right direction is definitely a key. I mean, they could go back easily and lose four in a row. But Julius Randle was a bull in the china shop. The Knicks played well enough just to get things done the way they need to get it done. So kudos goes out to the Knicks for what they were able to do.
Are we getting ahead of ourselves, man, with these two series? Let's just say it right now so we can play the tape later and see who was right, who was wrong. Is it upset alert? You know, is it just a game one thing between the Knicks and the Cavs, between the Kings and the Warriors?
I don't think that is an upset. If the Knicks were to beat Cleveland, I don't think that would be an upset. Now, if Sacramento beats Golden State, with Golden State having all their weapons, that to me would open up some people's eyes about it. It really shouldn't, because you look at this, you see what kind of season Golden State had, and you look at the kind of season that they had in Sacramento. It shouldn't be a surprise, but you're still talking about the defending NBA champions, and they look like they have most of their pieces back.
Right. I mean, that would add a shock value for sure. But yeah, I mean, just from the seeding aspect, right? I mean, yeah, it would technically be an upset for the Knicks as well. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think mm-hmm. the Cavaliers will be okay. Does it go the distance? Possibly. Maybe this thing goes seven. But I still like the Cavs winning this series. But it'll mm-hmm. be a heck of a series, entertaining series. Way better than what we saw, at least between the Brooklyn Nets and the Philadelphia 76ers, man. Blowout City, 121-101 with the final score. Joel Embiid is not playing, man. He wants to get through this first round. Get onto unfinished business in the second round, right?
Joel Embiid has his foot on the gas. He has shown why he is the MVP. Right. He should be the MVP this year. There's no question in my mind what he's done and his ability to score, block shots, run the floor. But just as interesting that to me would be what happens now with the Fakers today when they go down and they play down in Memphis. As they like to call it, Brick City. I mean, Memphis always got something going. Now, they don't have – they're missing a lot of their bigs.
Yeah, man.
For the
I don't like their chances, man. Something about this doesn't feel good, Max. Doesn't feel good.
I like their chances. And the reason I like their chances, they are an emotional team. Jackson is the key. Jackson has been a good defender. He's blocked shots for you. Dylan Brooks, who doesn't give a damn about, you know, LeBron James is going to get up in his face. He ain't going to give a shit one way or the other, which to me is important.
I can't wait to win the series back in L.A., man.
See, that's important to me because every player I see that plays against LeBron has a healthy respect for him.
Yeah.
And Dylan Brooks, if he was playing against his mom, he'd stomp on her damn toe.
You know, he would.
So that to me, that's a good sign for those guys. And you know what Jaw's gonna do? Jaw's gonna be bringing it. That fan base, man, they're gonna be off the chain. Yeah. You know, the Lakers have to be in Memphis and they have to run with, you know, they have to run, Anthony Davis and LeBron have to run with those young legs. Those gonna be young legs, man. Just wait. Old Pepper, man. Them young boys gonna be coming at them. So you want to be on alert right now? I'm not on alert for that. I think the Lakers get beat and they get beat handily. You're on the page that you think the Lakers upset them. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I do, man. Everything is just that's just the writing's on the wall, man. It's just the way they got into the playoffs. I mean, the Minnesota Timberwolves were supposed to win that game. It came down to it. Well, if Rudy Gobert is there, they win it for sure. But with everything that happened, just the way the plot lines are going to in the favor of L.A. right now, man. Dude. Yo, shit is not stable in Memphis, okay? You know why. And if John Moran's shot isn't efficient, if he's not shooting his shot the way he's supposed to, and pun intended, it's gonna be a quicker series than people anticipated.
Let me get this straight. You saying that the plot isn't right in Memphis when I saw the LA Fakers all but try to give the game away. They made some of the dumbest plays in that last quarter. I mean, that Schroeder hits, okay, they make a great play. Schroeder hits a three in the corner, and I'm with some of my boys, and they're like, it's over. So they're Laker fans. I said, just wait. There's 1.3 on the clock. The Lakers are going to do some dumb shit. And what happens? Anthony Davis runs over.
And the look, but what happened after that, man? The basketball gods still blessed them. No.
What happened after that? Was again the Lakers did some dumb shit. Do you remember late in that game in the overtime, LeBron James throws a cross court pass. They're down right now by three. Minnesota's down by three. They make a steal and come down. Kevin Prince is in the corner by himself and misses the tied up. So the Lakers did everything they could possibly do to give that game away. But they, as you said, they held on. And that was with Anthony playing a horrible game. And he's probably one of the rising stars. And you know Cat from time to time, he's going to do something that's going to be asinine. No.
Don't even get me started on that dude, man. For personal reasons, I'm upset with him. Okay, he went down. I know it's not his fault, but he got injured. He was my first round pick in fantasy basketball, and it didn't work out for me. But that's another story. But look, man, you forget another part of that game too, man. Dennis Schroeder wasn't even supposed to be in the game. He tweaked his ankle, comes back in, hits the big shot. I'm telling you, man, that's the basketball gods, man. That's God's plan. This is God's plan. For the Lakers.
He did hit the big shot. And then what happened? Go on. Hits the big shot with 1.4 on the clock. Now, you go on. You give me this next second and a half.
You
go
said ahead. The rest of that happened, man. You painted the picture.
No, go ahead. Tell me what happened then. Tell me what happened.
Anthony Davis got fouled. Anthony Davis fouled, what's his name, from behind the three. But he had to make those three free throws, Max. He made them, obviously.
Hey, he made the three, but I'm just saying it shouldn't have been that. The guy was in the corner, and Conley was literally behind
Prince,
the
Terry
backboard.
Young, Prince.
He was literally behind the backboard. And the only way you could save that play was you had to foul the three-point shooter in the act of shooting. And Anthony Davis flies over there.
Anthony Davis said, yo, say less. I'll do this. I'll do it.
I'll do something. I'll do that movie that came out, Dumb and Dumber. Oh, my God. It reminded me of that situation. When I saw that, I was like, because I told my guys were sitting there whooping and hollering, oh, my God, the Lakers got this thing. I said, you wait. Just wait. Hold on. You got 1.4 here. Watch the Lakers do something dumb.
Max said, there's still plenty of time to fuck this up. Tune in.
With the Lakers, there's still plenty of time. And what happens? They do exactly what I said. Then when they went up in overtime, the guys said, oh, we got this one. I said, hold on. Let's hold up a minute. LeBron comes down and throws it away. They get a chance to tie it up. I was like, oh.
I mean, look, I didn't say it's going to be pretty, but let's see what the Memphis Grizzlies got. Let's see if they can talk that talk and I don't know, but I should say, let's see if the game can back up that talk.
I tell you, if Jackson, here's the key to that game. if Jackson doesn't do, you know, get into foul difficulty by making dumb plays. If Jackson can stay in the game,
Jumping on up fakes, man.
Stop reaching for the ball, they got the chance to win even without Adams, because he has been one of the leaders in block shots this year around the rim. Jaws played well. Brooks has played well. They got some guys who can score the basketball, and they run the floor. I like their chances, especially at home.
Yeah, man. Look, all of this is just it's all the makings of a very entertaining first round, which you don't always get every single year, man. So I'm looking forward to it. The playoffs continue, of course, throughout the weekend, and we'll have all of our reactions to what's going on in our next episode. What's up, man?
The Butler is still around, though.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Let's see what happens, man. Miami Heat punched their ticket into the playoffs, going up against the Milwaukee Bucks. You saying upset alert, Max? Is that what you saying?
And tell you what, the Butler's still around, dog. The Butler's still around. I mean, Shrews had 31.
Oh, he came correct on that in that playing game, man. 31
the other day. Hero
Chicago.
Bam is gonna play well. It's gonna be that. I think that series is gonna be more interesting than you think. I talked to somebody. They were saying that, I believe that, all these other guys right now are healthy for Milwaukee. And I go, Middleton hasn't necessarily looked like Middleton.
He's not the same dude.
They will need him to be that dude. Giannis is gonna be Giannis. Brook Lopez, big body on the inside. Right. But
you know what, Max? What about Drew? What about Drew? Sorry to cut you off real quick, but because Drew Holiday is obviously a spectacular player, he can come up big. But he's the two now, right? He's a little more important than he was a couple of years ago. So it's going to be interesting to see, because if the Miami Heat can minimize his offense, then you put yourself in really good shape to knock this team out. I mean, throughout the course of a 7-game series, if you can do that on a game by game basis.
Well, who do you put on if you're Miami? Who do you put on? Do you go one of the best defenders around? Do you go with Jimmy Butler, one of the best two-way defenders?
I might go Jimmy, because I might say this guy is way more important than defending Chris Middleton, at least right now. Until Middleton proves me otherwise, I would do that.
Kyle Lowry could be an X factor when it comes to the plan in this game. Yeah. They got shooters over there galore. I don't know. I'm not as confident about the Bucks. The Bucks could go out and beat them by 40, and I'd be like, oh yeah. But the Bucks could lose that game. And I go, It's gonna be interesting. We do want you guys to follow us,
especially game one, man. If you could steal one, that'd be huge.
That's why we want you guys to follow us and subscribe.
Yes, yes.
We do appreciate the fact that you guys are very loyal viewers on the channel, and you've made us stronger. Our partnership with our gambling,
FanDuel. I was just gonna say, FanDuel, guys, you still have plenty of time. Still got plenty of time to cash in on that $200 bonus if you haven't already. That's FanDuel.com/Boston. Sign up. You still have plenty of time. $5 or at least a $10 deposit. $10 bet can get you up to $200 worth of winnings just for signing up. Head over to FanDuel.com/Boston, man.
I like you. Are you going to get your outtake, your disclaimer?
No, man, we put that. We got that.
We got that. I love when you read the disclaimer on that. If you ever,
yeah, we had to, Max. We have.
Yeah,
I get it. It's brand new in Massachusetts, so they're ahead of that.
I love when you read your disclaimer on that, man. It was so cool. Like, if you have problems, but FanDuel is kicking, and FanDuel's done a fantastic job, and they have inundated the whole Boston area. You see,
oh man, you can feel it.
You see breeds, you see, people betting. It is really cool.
I was cracking up one of the last games of the season. I think the spread, the Celtics had like an 8.5 spread, and then at the end, I want to say Wait, what was the back-to-back they played again? The Toronto game, I think it was. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What the second Toronto game? I want to say Flynn, one of the bench guys, because the game was over, goes into the paint and makes a layup. And I hear the guy behind me just go, "Damn it!" It went from a 9-point game to a 7-point game, and that's how it ended. I was like, "Damn, that's tough. That's tough." But there's still way. Way more other options.
So many ways to win on FanDuel with my sons are involved with it. It's, you know, how many rebounds a guy might get or how many hot shots or how many
the assists, prop bets. Yeah.
The prop bets are freaking amazing with what's coming on. So you guys live it up. Live your as you
yeah, guys. Man.
Live your best life. I was a little surprised to see your guy Bobby Kraft was at the game, Mr. Kraft.
Oh, man, he's a Celtics fan. He's like, if we saw Belichick, I would be like, whoa, that would have been a shock.
I was looking for a sidekick that you know, Meek Mills or
look out for the potential Gucci Mane. If this is a Sixers series. One of those guys going to be there. Probably Meek, I should say. Not Gucci. Meek. But Gucci should come through, especially since they're playing the Hawks. That's actually a good call.
Yeah. So, yeah, guys. We'll see. Anyway, you would thank you guys for coming on with us, man. And, you know, follow us. It's going to be
interesting to
see what the C's do and, you know, what the rest of the association does also.
And it's just the beginning. Absolutely. We'll see you guys next week.